Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another podcast. This is episode number 41, Reinventing the Client Experience with Jennifer Goldman, and of course with my co-host Kirk Lowe. Jennifer Goldman has amazing experience when it comes to operations. In fact, she is a business operations expert. She's going to talk a little bit about her company, and what we're going to really focus on today, though, is what is client experience and why is it so difficult to reinvent. So Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here, especially on a Friday.
Absolutely. Woo-hoo. Yay, weekend. All right. So let's give people food for thought here, Jennifer. Let's define what a client experience means so that we're all on the same page from the beginning.
Absolutely. So to me, the client experience is every interaction that your firm, your people have with the client. So it includes the online experience, which is what the client views when they go to your website, even going into, let's say, a portal of some sort, what they experience when you're emailing them, what they experience from walking into your office or meeting with, what they experience from receiving communications. So again, to us, the client experience is very comprehensive, and it's every aspect of what the client experiences in working with you.
So why is it so difficult to build this out? Why do advisors have such a problem delivering a really great client experience?
Well, first of all, you look at your client base and you realize there's different segments. Like some firms, if I ask them, what are your segments of clients? They might say, I have younger, middle-aged, and older. Others might say, I have divorced or business owners. So one of the things about looking at your client experience is you realize you probably have to give a different experience to different segments of clients. And then when you look at your segments, you start to get lost in that complexity. So I think, and we can keep going down the list, but that, you know, is one of the reasons why it's so difficult. The other thing is when you're thinking about your client experience, I'll be honest, some firms don't find that to be an indirect revenue generator. Like they feel that that's something that maybe can be put on the table and put aside for a while. It's really hard for a lot of business owners and advisors to justify the time it takes to really sit down, carve out some time and think about your current client experience, kind of put yourself in that client's shoes and then draft it out and really pick it apart and make it better.
I was just on the phone with a client this morning, right before the podcast. He's out in Baltimore, and they just did this huge client event at this Baltimore Industrial Museum. And all of the clients who went were fantastic and had such a great time, and they took a whole bunch of pictures. So I was on the phone with his assistant today, and she said, well, Matt, if we post those pictures, there is a huge segment of our business that was not invited. How do we handle that? So as a business operations expert, how do you recommend that, because of you were just talking about different clients and multiple segments?
I still would post the pictures, if that's what you're asking me. I mean, I understand that maybe it represents one segment of clients, but it represents that you're communicating with clients, that you're giving them a nice, great atmosphere to experience your firm. So I guess I wouldn't hesitate showing one segment of clients and a series of pictures. I don't think people are going to notice that as much as they're going to notice that somebody was having fun, you know, and that you're out there communicating. And, you know, the hope is that those that weren't invited, there's another venue for them to have an experience with your firm.
Absolutely.
They haven't excluded them.
Right? Good. Well, okay. I was on the right page with that. All right. So let's continue to flesh out the building out your client experience.
When you go through, you know, I think I'm glad you asked me about what the definition of client experience is, because a lot of firms think it's the online experience, it's the portal. So a part of the client experience is the technology. Maybe it's receiving email from you. Maybe it's in the email drip newsletter, or your website, and so forth. But what is another problem with the client experience is all that tech you're using that you're putting in front of them. It's scattered. It may not seem organized. And so you really have to spend a little bit of time thinking about that. And again, that's not an advisor's highest calling. So the advisor's highest calling is sitting with those clients and really solving their problems, giving them financial goals, and bringing clarity. It's not looking at their tech tools. So right. I think that, you know, stops people in their tracks.
Do you help advisors with that, Jennifer? I always found that that was such a difficult thing to consult because they did have so many different things that they were offering. You know, they had Riskalyze and they had Everplans and then they had e-money and then they had, you know, some other thing, Wealth Vision or their LPL login. How do you even begin to have them consolidate that stuff so it is a real smooth technological experience?
Yeah, you really have to actually coach them out of stepping out of their own shoes and into a client's shoes. And sometimes what I'll tell them is to lean on a staff person if they have staff and let the staff person show them the experience that's being shown to the client. It's about somebody else showing the advisor the experience versus telling the advisor, go sit down by yourself and look at it yourself. There's a bias. So I don't think, yeah, we absolutely do help with that. But I think, again, it's the visual showing, but asking them, take a step outside and now pretend that you're that client and going through this experience. You know, how are you reacting to it? What do you think?
Awesome.
I know that I'm making it sound so simple, but it is.
I make it sound really simple because it is. And you're right. It really is.
To me, it is. Yeah.
All right. So what are some of the other parts of building this out? Because so we just talk about, you know, segmentation, different clients, this whole idea of, you know, multiple streams of technology that might not be user friendly. What else makes it difficult to build out this client experience?
Well, you cannot get stuck in the analysis paralysis mode. I mean, you have to really, when you're going through and working on your client experience, there is a lot of moving parts. So if you get stuck on a segment of the experience, let's just say the client walking into your building and what that experience is, you might get just stuck at the lobby and start picking apart the things you'd want to change. You have to start slow and move forward and make progress. So what I mean by that is when you're going through the client experience, just start writing down what the experience is or start somehow whiteboarding, like grab markers and grab paper, but always move forward. Don't get stuck on the things that you don't like about your client experience. Just at first, just document what the client experience and flow is. Again, taking it from different aspects, right? What's the client experience from coming to your office for a meeting? And just write that down. Again, don't pick apart what you don't like about it. And don't be so critical. Just write it down or whiteboard it. What's the experience of going to your website? You know, what are the click steps to get to certain things? Again, just write it down. Don't be critical. I think advisors are amazing at doing deep dive analysis, but this is not the time to do that. Top level.
Gotcha. So Kirk, where are you at with all of this?
I'm thinking about a story. Sometimes I feel like it's difficult for advisors to get the perspective on what client experience really is. What does it mean? And, you know, people say, well, let's look at it through your client's eyes. So it's not always easy to do. But I got a quick little story here that may shed some light if you're struggling with that. And when I think about, I was talking to somebody about two wine regions that are close to where I live in Ontario. And everybody's saying, all the California people are saying, yeah, right, those aren't really wine regions. But they're two pretty big ones. By big, I mean at least 12 wineries in each of these areas. So I was talking to somebody today, they're saying, you know, whenever I go to this region, I always come back with a case of wine. And there's this one winery that I always buy a lot from, and it's such an incredible experience. I love sitting in the vineyard. The food there is really great, and it's such a wonderful experience. And so how's the wine? Well, it's good, but there's probably better wine other places, clearly, but it's good. But that experience is what they remember, and sometimes it's why they drink the wine. And I think advisors need to think about that. How do we create experiences that make people not always so focused on exactly what we do, but they do it because they love working with us? And if you can figure that out, that is, I think that's the ultimate outcome of inventing, or in a lot of cases, reinventing the client experience. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It's the feel. It's the feeling that they have. And that's what they revisit when they leave, and they might be talking to somebody, and somebody mentions something, and that feeling resurrects itself, and it should be a happy, good feeling. So, it's not the deliverables, and it's not the website, and it's, you know, it's that feeling that they're relating to.
So there's kind of different categories. Mm-hmm. It feels like there's what happens in the practice, and so some of that is the deliverables that you just talked about. Some of that is the less tangible things. And I'm going to question you on some things that you can list for people. So where to look for where these experiences, where there's opportunities perhaps. But I have a couple of questions first. One is if you think about where your practice is right now, what will clients remember about working with you? Is it just the specific deliverables of what you offer as a financial advisor, or is it other things? Can you make those other things really important and do really well? and not a whole bunch, because Jen's going to talk about that in a little bit, so I won't get into that. But so, Jen, can you list a couple of client experience opportunities that advisors can think about when they're working, or that clients would think about with advisors?
I hate to bring this up, but I am a mom of two. And I will tell you that there's some advisors that love having candy on the tables. And maybe this is old school and I'm bringing up something everybody knows, but that little sweet touch when a client comes into that room to talk about something that probably is very overwhelming and they're greeted with some yummy, happy things. It's like that, I don't know if you've seen that commercial with the gummy bears and the people are around the corporate table, but they're talking like little kids as they're eating them.
Yeah.
So I know that's a tiny little example.
But they got really candies, right?
Yeah, like candies. And then there's others that are like, oh, I won't serve candy because that's, you know, I'm into health, right? So they have like a really healthy, high protein items. And that's fine because that's what people remember. Again, it's, you're right. It's not necessarily the deliverables. It's that feeling of being welcomed. Or another is like I walked into an office where it felt like I was in my family room. I can't get that out of my mind. And I realized as I left, and I'm a little bit of a tech junkie, I didn't see any technology. I just saw a family room. It made me feel warm and cozy, like I wanted to lay down on a couch. Those are the things that people remember and experiences. And I know that's walking into an office. So what example can I give online of an experience? How about the lack of an experience? An online experience is not coming to your advisor's website and seeing five different ways you can log into five different portals.
Or sterile calculators.
An hallelujah there, because see that one all the time.
All the time, right?
All the websites created, we can get to that login thing and advisors go, okay, this is a really important page. And they come back to you with five things. And
Or what about video? We talk about this. The experience of receiving a video that's personal. There's some advisors that actually don't type an email message. They do it in video form. It takes, you got to get used to being on the camera, right? And doing a quick video. But think about that experience that's coming to the client.
There's a service out there that for advisors to do that. And I can't remember what it is, but I'm going to find out.
That'd be a great one to blog post.
The show notes. Yeah, I'm going to find it.
You know, Jennifer, you just said two things that I want to come back to. Number one, it feeling like you were in your family room and you realized there wasn't any technology around. Something that's always driven me batty is walking into an office and having a large screen TV with CNBC on.
Oh, gosh.
Because, you know, and especially if, like if you're a financial planner. Now, if you're an active trader, right, and you're going to be talking about performance and trades, and that's different. But if you hold yourself out as a financial planner, that's the last thing, literally the last thing you want your clients thinking about, because CNBC is news and all they want to do is make you think that the world's coming to an end. So you've noticed that too, so I'm not crazy.
Well, it's not managing the client's expectation and experience. What you're basically saying to the client is okay to be glued to a screen all day long and watch how your investments are doing.
Right.
I mean, that's, you know, again, that's old school. And you know what? Even if you're a money manager, right? I still think that that's not appropriate anymore for an experience. But Fantastic. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. Well, and I love that. One other thing, my old boss, who I'm sure everybody, well, I shouldn't say everybody, my old boss, Ron Carson, when he used to talk about client experience, he really walked the walk. And Kirk is going to, you know, kind of talk a little bit more about this in the practice with the experience and to get your input. But when their A-plus clients were coming in, the nice lady who sat at the front desk, her whole job was to get everything prepared for that A-plus client walking in. So when that A-plus client walked in, she greeted them at the door because they knew that they were coming in and they were in the parking lot. She guided them to the seats, immediately brought them their preferred beverage. Right. I mean, even down to how many sugars and cream were in the coffee.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm going to tell you a very quick story and then we'll get back on track. So a woman came in and she was very, very distraught. She was an A-plus client. And so the director of first impressions of what Ron used to call him said, you know, why are you so distraught? And she said, well, because, you know, we got a new puppy and he just chewed up a whole bunch of stuff. And so while Ron was meeting with this client, she ran out to a local pet store and created a little doggy bag, literally of chew toys. And when she came out, she handed this client the chew toys and said, well, let's hope your puppy chews on this instead. You're talking about client experience. Every advisor is always talking about how they want to have better service. because, yep. you know, there's so much that they can't control.
Yes.
What you help with is things like that. And you help them integrate it and you help them come up with ideas, correct?
You know what? Absolutely. And some of that comes from them when they actually can start breathing and have clarity. Like, I think the advisors have great ideas of what to do. It's just that they're stuck in the weeds of so many things that they're juggling and so many things that they should really just be eliminating out of mind and sight. So absolutely. Yeah. I know a guy that used to send to anybody, if he found out a client was sick, they would send soup. It came with like a ladle and the chicken soup and something else. I'm like, that's brilliant.
That's fantastic.
Just brilliant. Yeah. Oh, and it's just, and those are the things that you're right, that matter and that are talked about, yeah. not the performance. Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We talk about those on a couple of our podcasts, and I call them moments. We have like break down how clients communicate or advisors communicate with clients, and it's hits, touches, and moments. Hits is if you hit them, if you keep doing that, it's going to hurt eventually. So that's just like admin and stuff that means they got to read and do something. Touches is when you kind of reach out trying to see top of mind. Moments is what advisors really need to have more of. And they're right in line with this conversation about client experience. I mean, that, you know, what that client did or what the director of first impressions did. And I'm so glad you named that role because I was going to ask you about that, but you beat me to it. So beautiful. That is such an incredible opportunity. You don't get those opportunities much, but when it does and you grab hold of it, it's not always going to be convenient, but look for those teacher staff or, you know, staff can even come up with that stuff. I wonder if Ron was even on his radar, that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Anyway, great story.
All right, Jen. Back to you here. We're still talking about why it's difficult for advisors to build out their client experience. And you have a couple other points that you want to touch on. So why don't you keep going and continue to...
Yeah, I don't want to touch too much more. I think they probably know why. We don't want to overwhelm them at listening. You know, I think the last couple are just this idea of building by consensus. When they're working on the client experience, they want everyone to buy into any possible ideas and changes at the firm. Mm-hmm. And if you have a very large firm, that's not so easy. So I think, again, this just goes back to my comment before. When you're working on the client experience, you're really thinking about it, start drafting and writing out what it currently is. Don't pick it apart. Don't criticize it. Don't find the flaws. Just whiteboard it and then work on new ideas. And that's where you can bring people together in pods. So maybe it doesn't have to be consensus, but it can be different pods of people for different parts of the experience.
Fantastic.
So progress over perfection, right?
Yes, correct.
Now we say that you're going to wave your super magic wand here, and they have implemented this amazing client experience. What are some of the things they can see, feel, taste, touch that are outcomes of really putting the time into this?
Yeah, and some of them are metrics and some of them are just feel. Just like, again, you're trying to get the client to have a feeling, right? Or a moment, like Kurt said. Naturally, the outcome is you will attract more clients. I think that your story of the puppy toys is just an amazing example because that woman absolutely raved about that firm to her friends. There's no question. And probably did it over and over again, enough that I'm sure a few of them picked up and reached out to that firm.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's just a given. So while you feel happier because you've just worked on your business and giving your clients a better experience, that happiness also leaves the doors. It gets out of the office and into the community. And so it attracts. So you attract by giving better moments. Let's use that word, right? You attract just because you feel like you have more clarity about giving a valuable client experience. And so that happiness brings on more business because people like to be around happy people, right? I think that's a given. Mm-hmm. If you've really spent the time on the client experience, in my opinion, it should be a lot less work in the office. So you should feel that you have more capacity, just a lot less work because you find ways to cut out work that isn't valued, isn't needed. Mm. Energy boost. I love that one. Now, if I can get a guy to say, yeah, I feel more energetic, that's going to go down in history. Women will definitely say this more than men. But the fact is, it happens. Both, doesn't matter who you are.
It's just walking in, though, Jennifer, right? I mean, when you not only know that you're about to see a great client and you're going to give them an amazing experience, you should be energized. You absolutely should. You should be having a smile on your face and the team is ready to just do this amazing client experience. It changes the whole tone and the feel of the office, doesn't it?
Totally. Without question. It's just, it's, listen, it's like that snowball effect, but in a good way, right? You do a little change here, called a quick win, and a little change there that makes things better. And while you're changing one thing, you're eliminating something else. And in the end, all of that just comes to this happy place. And again, I know that it sounds so simple, but believe me, if you start on this, you almost actually, as you start to do this and you make these little quick wins and changes and improvements, you will start to be addicted to that fun and that energy and that boost. You'll start to love the fact that you have more clients walking in the door. And then that snowball just runs out, and it's amazing. And what it does too, another outcome on the flip is, if you do this properly and you spend time, what I call continuously improving, you should have less tech, you should have less to do, less to manage, which that alone gives another boost of energy.
Oh my God. Every advisor in the world's ears just perked up. And what you just said there, wait a second, less people to manage, less stuff to manage, less stuff, less people. Yeah, that's this really is a solution, everybody. And everybody needs to lean on Jennifer. If you have not connected with her on LinkedIn, if you haven't checked out her website, she has got so much great information there to help you grasp this, to break it down into bite-sized pieces. I love that you said continuous improvement. That's the Japanese principle of Kaizen, right? Slow, exactly. Gradual, continuous improvement. Improvement. And it's not a light switch, everybody. It's not, oh, I'm just going to turn client experience on. No, you have to. It's like a muscle, right? It's like a training for a marathon, right? You don't just go out and go couch to marathon. You go couch to 5K, 10K, half marathon, right? This is the same thing. And that's what Jennifer's saying, is find those little wins. Find the little things that you can do that are going to make your clients happier and your staff feel like they're doing a better job. And that changes the whole thing.
That's exactly right. And that's exactly goes back to the points at the beginning. No analysis paralysis. Don't, as you're writing things out and whiteboarding, do not pick apart what you don't like yet and go for little quick wins. Start there. That gets the staff energized too. So then they'll start helping. Mm-hmm. So again, baby steps.
So we've blown everybody's mind with all of these magnificent things that they're supposed to do. We've opened their ears to understand that this is something they have to do in order to really become unique and different within their community and to provide the service that so many advisors tout that they are so much better than other people. How do they get started? What is that first step?
I guess there's two ways or two choices, in my opinion. One is, if you do not have a client advisory board, get one. And if you don't know how to do that, Steve Wershing and other consultants out there are more than happy to help you do that. But that is so important to line up an advisor. It takes time to kind of pick out maybe your top five or six, no more than that. Don't start big. You know, different types of clients kind of represent your whole client base and that want to be engaged and want to help you. All right. So that's really important. And then the other thing is, you know, I keep saying whiteboarding. Grab the markers, grab the paper. Try to make it fun. You have big glass windows, use the glass markers. Whatever it takes to stand up and start identifying what your current client experience is. And trust me, as you start doing that, you're going to have epiphanies along the way. You're going to find those quick wins. They're just going to come to you guys as a team. So I think those two are really big. The third is, if there's a mental hurdle about all of this, and I will speak clearly about it, it is not easy to go through this exercise without mentally feeling like you might have missed something or that maybe you could have done it better yesterday. And so if you need that mental coach and support, then get a coach. And when I say coach, I truly mean a coach that will deal with the mental side of this, I don't know what to say, continuous improvement. It's really important. So well, I guess I just said three options, didn't I?
Well, that's good. We have a friend of Top Advisor Marketing who was just on one of our podcasts very recently, which is Joe Lucas. And that is what makes him unique and different, is he, that's one of the big things he focuses on, is making sure that you're dealing with the mental obstacles, right, that are stopping you from making that next level of success.
That's right. And he's great. The energy. Listen, if you don't have the energy, then you get the energy from the coach and vice versa.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, he's got a lot of it.
I know that guy's got energy to spare, doesn't he? Goodness gracious, it's contagious.
I love it.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about your business in just a second. Kirk, why don't you jump in here and kind of distill some of your thoughts?
Well, first of all, Jen, did you mention your blog post that you wrote?
I did not. Maybe now would be a good time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I should answer Matt's question first, because that's probably where he's leading you. And he doesn't like it when I start doing his job for him. He sent me nasty texts like, what are you doing, man? this is so simple, you know, how you guys have defined it. And I'm sitting there, I'm learning a lot and thinking to myself how we, there's a couple of things that are, I can relate back to our business. For starters, that, you know, Matt and I, since we started working together, you know, we've been doing this podcast for over a year, but we started actually working together. And Matt left coaching to, for us to work together, you know, do marketing, podcasting, social stuff for advisors. And we've created a lot of momentum. And one of the funnest things in creating that momentum that we've done is we've simplified our business in a lot of ways that I really struggle to just go out and do. And Matt's been kind of that extra, like, don't even think about this, just do it. Mm-hmm. And we started simple and we're trying our hardest to keep it simple, but can't turn off the ideas, can't turn off how much momentum is happening. But one thing that you can't do in your business is you can't start and stop something, start and stop that roller coaster. I've learned that lesson the hard way. And this is just another example of just decide to make some changes in your business and don't look back. But take the simple right steps that you guys discussed today. I think that's huge. And I think if there's one thing advisors can get from this podcast, you know, every time we do an episode, is just find one little thing that you can make a difference of and then use that to build momentum. I think momentum is probably one of the most underrated things in the entrepreneurial world because we think that we can do 10 things all at once because we can see them. There's so much information. We know there's 10 things we got to work on. Don't know where to start. We try all 10 at once. Just find one thing, get better at, build momentum. That'll probably make an impact in your business, give you more time, more energy, something. Then start, keep going. And I think that's what Jen and Matt have been sharing here the entire podcast.
We just had a guy on the podcast. His name is Dave Crenshaw, and he wrote a book about the myth of multitasking. And you should really take a look at that because that really speaks to exactly what Jen's talking about here, which is taking baby steps. One of the analogies I use all the time is, how do you prepare to climb a mountain? And in Eastern culture, Western culture, you know, you go to REI and you buy a whole bunch of crap that you're probably never going to need, you know, and you hire your Sherpa, right? But in Western philosophy, the way that you start, you know, getting ready to prepare to climb a mountain is you take one step toward the mountain. And that's what I think you're talking about here. Start simple, start small. But you have tools. So let's talk about the blog post. Let's talk about your website. Let's talk about some of the things that you offer to help our audience.
So you're asking me to self-promote?
Well, no, I mean, I can do it for you if you want, but I think it's going to come out much better from your mouth.
Maybe so. And I totally love that both of you just summarized the fact of it's all about the baby steps and it's the momentum. You know, I always tell people, don't talk about it. Put it on your calendar and schedule the time.
Yeah.
And you schedule it reoccurring every month, every quarter. So that's, I know that sounds, again, something simple, but I find a lot of people don't do that. So the blog post, I kind of threw these ideas that we're going to talk about today and others in, it's called Pennywise Solutions. You can search for it on the blog on myvirtualcoo.com. And in there, I mentioned a client segmentation and servicing template that you could use. It's like a worksheet style that you could use. Some other ideas, some of these solutions that we're talking about. So again, it's all there in that blog post. And then there's other items on the DIY page, but I don't think they pertain as much as this. You know, from there, if there's more that you want to talk about or learn about or pick my brain, we actually have right on our site ability to book a call with us. We make ourselves completely accessible. So
yeah, so I'll put the link to that blog post in the show notes.
Sure.
It's myvirtualcoo.com. Chief Operating Officer. Ossifer.
Nice.
Yes, whatever you always say.
It's Friday, but I have not been drinking yet.
Yeah, Kirk was talking about all that wine earlier, and so he dipped into that a little earlier than he normally does. Jennifer, I want to say thank you. As a person who has left the industry of coaching, since I've left, it was actually only in August, so it's been about a month and a half, 2 months since Kirk and I started this project together with our other partner, Ray. And Ray is a lot of times the voice of reason, because Kirk and I can kind of get a little squirrely. But meeting you and Joe just gives me so much hope, and being so grateful that you exist in our industry to help advisors, because so many of the advisors are chasing the wrong things. So many advisors are trying to control what they can't control. And what you and Joe talk about, especially you with this client experience, the difference is this is something they can control. Listen, they can't control the markets, right? You can't control all of these other outside things that are noise and distractions and things that provide so much frustration for financial advisors. but you can get somebody a cup of coffee. You can send them some soup when they're sick. You can do these little itty bitty things that your clients will absolutely remember. Something that I used to talk about a lot was calling your A-plus clients at lunch and just asking them how they're doing, because most of your A-plus clients are probably eating lunch with friends. And when they see your caller ID come up on the phone, well, they're going to answer it because this is your freaking financial advisor, right? It's like, holy crap, what's going on? Is the market dying? And when you just say, hey, I just was calling to check in to see how you're doing, all of a sudden, you know, they get down and they hang up the phone. And then what do their dinner or their lunch guests say? They say, who is that? And you say, well, that was my financial advisor. And like, well, is something going on? No, you know, he just calls me every once in a while. She just calls me every once in a while just to check in and see how I'm doing.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. You know, those are those little itty bitty things that people like Jen with my virtual COO, she has a lot of resources available. So I'm going to talk Jen up a little bit more here.
I got a pet peeve, and I know we're trying to end here, but it just hit me.
Uh-oh.
I think it'd be fun to talk about.
Oh, good,
Jen
good, good.
Just goes, Jen's awesome when you bring this stuff up. At least she is when we're not live. But
we'll see how this goes. So all right, Kurt, go ahead.
Here's what I think a lot of advisors think is a client experience. In my opinion, I can't stand this when I see it, is when I walk into somebody's office and I see a Keurig machine and it's all out in the open. And they're like, oh, we have all these flavors. For me, that just drives me nuts. I don't know why. But I don't think that is really a client experience, because it's so easy to duplicate and it's cheap, in my opinion. Maybe people feel differently, but how do you guys feel with that? Like, I'm thinking advisors are going to go away and all buy Keurig machines because you said coffee.
Yeah, or candy.
And I'm thinking, man, with how famous we are, like this spike of Keurig, you just go off.
Yeah, we should have bought stock in
there. Listen, I'm an ex-advisor, right? And I'm an ex-planner. And I like things in a certain precise way. I like to plan. I like to predict. This, what we're talking about, there's certain elements of the client experience you actually can plan and kind of set the stage, all right? But there's other parts of it that you kind of have to go with the flow. Like Matt's story about the dog, you know, those are the wins. And I think that there has to be more of that. But how do you get to that place mentally where you hear that? Where that first impressions, but they heard what that woman was saying with her body language. They read it. Mm-hmm. They asked, which takes confidence, right? And then they actually reacted to it. I think that advisors and staff are such in a tornado and whirlwind of servicing and all this back office work that they're not hearing those messages. And so I get the care. It's easy to buy the coffee machine. It's easy to buy the candy.
You went all philosophical on me. All I really wanted to know is, do you guys think that's
no, we hate Keurigs. So the other...
no, coffee? I don't drink coffee, but I know everybody else in the world does. So
well,
no,
but
I don't think it's a terrible thing. I think it's an attempt.
Kirk, there's a happy medium here, right? And the happy medium is you, when your client comes in, you provide them with a list of flavors of coffee. They check off the list. They give it back to the receptionist, the director of first impressions. The director of first impressions goes and Keurigs that cup of coffee, right? It's just that extra step that makes a big difference. You know, Jennifer, you just said something that I have to come back to, which is our director of first impressions at Carson Wealth Management Group. She was so in tune, and some people thought she was flighty, right? And I always remember watching her. And so I've come up with something that I'm actually podcasting about right now. It's called La La Land. And when you live in La La Land, you notice those sorts of things. And La La stands for look, assess, listen, and act. And so that's what La La is.
Nice.
If you live in La La Land, you're going to do exactly what Jennifer was saying. You're going to look around and see what's going on. You're going to assess the situation just like our director first impressions did. And then she's going to listen to see if there's anything that's going on that is an actionable item. And if there is, you have to take that fourth step. And the fourth step is the most difficult thing that you can do, which is to get up off your butt and do something. It's so much easier just to say, I'll do that next time. But that action will change not only your experience, and as Jennifer said, you've got an increased energy in the office, increased profitability. You've got increased, you know, overall referrals. You've got less people to manage, less personnel issues, less technology, and you have more control over everything in your office.
You got that right. Amen.
Hey, Matt, do you think I'd be a good director of first impressions?
No, you'd be a horrible director of first impressions. I love you, man, but there's no way.
Since you said the la-la thing, I was like, oh, gosh.
Yep. Now, you luckily are not the touchy-feely, warm and fuzzy person in our relationship here. That would most likely be me.
That's Matt.
All right. So, Jennifer, any closing thoughts?
Baby steps. That's all I can say. Get started and keep doing it.
Fantastic. All right, Jennifer, thank you very, very much for being on our show today.
It's been great, you guys, as always.
Well, for Kirklow, this is Matt Haller, and this was episode number 41, Reinventing the Client Experience with Jennifer Goldman, Business Operations Expert. And pretty soon, we'll see you on the other side of the mic.